The reality is that, yes, we can worship God on the mountaintop, but we can worship him when you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. And for us, the songs that we've written and sung over the years had never been more real and true and helpful than, you know, they've been in this last season for us. Mm. And so it was incredible. It seemed as we shared that and walked it out, what we were going through, but kept on glorifying God, knowing that, you know, a play on the words of this album, Are We There Yet? That, no, we're not. We haven't made it to eternity yet. But then at the same time, yes, we're there. God has met us today. His presence is with us right now.
What's up, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Trevor Talks. I'm your host, Trevor Tyson, and today we have some, how do you put it? I've got two of the leading voices of a group that I've grown up going to see play live since about 2012. I have talked about this band quite a bit on this show because it has a huge part of my story. The first national tour I ever got to do, I was interning on Outcry 2015 with this group here headlining. So such an amazing full circle moment for myself. But before we get started in this, I just want to give a special shout out to our amazing sponsors at Life Audio and thank them for bringing this show to the table and just helping us promote it and grow. So thank you to Life Audio. And I am stoked about this, guys, so you don't want to miss this. Today's guests are two of the leading voices behind the multi-award winning and platinum selling group United. They have just released the expanded edition of their chart-topping album, Are We There Yet? And I'm so grateful to have them with us today. Please help me welcome Jad Gillies and JD of United. JD, Jad, welcome.
Thank you so much. Hey, that was quite an encouraging intro. So thank you.
Yeah, that was quite the intro, man. Thank you. We need to take you everywhere with us.
Look, I'm totally down for it. You see, on Outcry, I was interning for Nick Hall at the time. So I had like a very off the stage part. But you know what? If you need a dope intro, I can butter it up with the Grammy plugs, all this good stuff. You know, it's easy to do when you have a reputation like United. So it's easy to do an intro. And I'm just stoked to have you guys on the show. It's very full circle for me. So again, thank you for being here.
Thank you, mate.
So you're currently out promoting the expanded edition of Are We There Yet? And it has quite a bit of new content, including video content. But as I was telling you before we started recording, there's a whole new element to the record with just stripping it down quite a bit and adding just an ambient sound to it. There's a lot of people looking for hope. They're looking for joy. They're looking for purpose right now. And this is such a resource for the body of Christ and for people who may have never heard of Jesus or Hillsong United before. So just to dive into it, how are you feeling about the expanded edition and what are some of your favorite parts about it that we may have not seen in the first rendition of the record?
Yeah, I think we're really excited. And for us, the whole reason that we do these albums is so we can bring hope to people and help people in the midst of whatever they might be going through. And that's us included. You know, we've always tried to just authentically be who God's called us to be and share what he's speaking to us. But what makes this kind of expanded edition of this album special is because we recorded the original Are We There Yet during COVID. And we had half of our team in California and the other half of us were in Sydney, Australia. And, you know, we're used to, it's kind of been like that for a little while and we make it work. But I'm sure the headlines made it to America of how hectic the lockdown in Australia was. Like we were locked down. And so making the record during that period was quite tricky and it was kind of weird all at the same time. We weren't even allowed to be in the same building at the same time. I remember tracking one of the songs at the height of it and like Jad would go in and I wasn't even and go to the studio door until he had left and then Taya would come in and we'll kind of read leaving each other notes. And anyway, it was a wild experience. All that to say, what makes this so special, it was the first time in almost 2 years that we'd all been together, and so just that experience was incredible. And then just being able to do what we feel called to do, which is play the songs together, is kind of how this whole thing came about.
That's awesome. And Jad?
Yeah. And like JD said, it got crazy. Like we, you know, I remember doing a session for, I can't even remember what song, but you know, Joel's Joel's in California, but and you know, Dan and guys like that, and they're on a program called Audio Movers, and they're basically, it's just a screen in the vocal booth with these four faces, and you know, some people are at home in Sydney, some people are in California, and we're all just trying to produce a vocal over you know, with technology, which was really helpful, but at the same time it was so weird. and it was kind of like one of those things, but this expanded edition contains some of the songs when we first got together. Remember leaving the country for the first time last year and getting to the US and getting to record, you know, a bunch of these songs that we'd never played together before. And it was really cool, actually. I remember climbing up onto the roof with Joel to record of our studio in Orange County, climbing up onto the roof with Joel and recording on repeat. And we had to do it right then because that was when the sun was setting. So, it was just an interesting time. But I think it's really significant. I love the songs.
Yeah, and that had to be pretty difficult at first. Y'all are usually a pretty hands-on bunch. If I'm recalling correctly, there are documentaries and such out that you've recorded in your studio sessions where you're all living together in one home, and going to studios and just being so heavily involved and allowing the Holy Spirit to move with all of you in one room. Nevertheless, having to do it splattered around the world, that sounds quite interesting. And specifically for On Repeat, what was it like recording that outside? And just it, when you listen to it, you could feel that there was an encounter of some sort. The songwriting's anointed. The vocals are phenomenal. The sounds are ambient. What was it like recording that?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, it was quick. I think we had like a 15-minute window because the sun was about to disappear, so we did two takes real quick on the roof and we were being very careful where we stood as well because there's old building's like where they used to make boats or something, so you know, like, but yeah, to be honest, it's one of those songs for me that I'm like, what an amazing thing to confess, or what an amazing thing to remember, you know, every day. I just like the premise that every day is an opportunity to acknowledge God and remember Him, and to decide that I'll use part of this day, a new day, to acknowledge God and to, you know, to stir my faith and to put my courage in Him. I think that's a really cool thing to do, and it felt really significant just singing it. Being together with Joel for the first time in a long time and climbing onto this massive roof. Sounds ridiculous.
You forget that.
No, that's awesome. That would be a hard one to forget. Everybody needs to go watch the visualizer for that on YouTube. It's phenomenal. Now, JD, Jad, you've both been in United for such a long time. And I just want to know, what has it been like representing the global church on this kind of level through the highs and the lows? One of the things that really touched my heart at the United Tomlin tour in Atlanta this past year was when Joel just got vulnerable and opening up about the changes of leadership within the church, just being able to show up and tour and lead worship in those valleys. And I feel like it's been a season like that for just about everybody on the planet, to be quite honest with you. We've all got our struggles. We've all been through the highs. We've all been through the lows. But specifically for United, having like a 250,000 people came to see that tour, and specifically, it had to be a very encouraging yet trying time as a group, as vocalists, as songwriters, just to come together and be like, hey, we're going to praise Jesus with you. But also, you know, we're in a weird mental state ourselves. You know, what was it like?
Yeah, it was, you know, just to answer your first question at the start, for us being, yeah, Jad and I have kind of been around since the start. That's been now over 20-year journey. And it's, if you would have told us that God would allow us to be part of this, to represent Him and the church, I just wouldn't have believed you. And we've just loved and felt honored every step of the way because, you know, like always, God will use anybody, and it's not about the person. It's and you see it throughout the Bible. It's just someone who's just willing to trust God and follow him. And that's why none of us are really special. The special thing is who God is and what he's doing. But yeah, it was like when we did this Tomlin and United tour, it was a long time coming. We were supposed to do it at the start of 2020, but COVID came, and then we just knocked it back 6 months, and we just kept knocking it back 3 or 6 months for 2 years. And finally the time came where we were able to travel and get out of Australia, which was it was nice that we could finally all be together. But it was also, crazy what we'd gone through as a church. But like you said, I think the last 2 years has knocked everybody down and everybody around. And we kind of got together just before the tour started, and we're like, there's so much going on. Should we actually do this? And we genuinely prayed about it and talked about it. And I love what, Joel would share each night, because it was the reality that we were like, if worshiping God was about only when you've got everything together and you've had the best week of your life, then, it wouldn't have been a good time to do the tour. But the reality is that, yes, we can worship God on the mountaintop, but we can worship him when you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. And so for us, the songs that we've written and sung over the years had never been more real and true and helpful than, they've been in this last season for us. Mm-hmm. And so it was incredible. It seemed as we shared that and walked it out, what we were going through, but kept on glorifying God, knowing that, a play on the words of this album, Are We There Yet? That, no, we're not. We haven't made it to eternity yet. But then at the same time, yes, we're there. God has met us today. His presence is with us right now and wherever anyone's listening. And so, it was incredible. People really seemed to resonate. And we've always tried to be authentic and in who we are and what we're doing. And so, and just on top of that, the fact that I don't think many people had gathered in large crowds, for quite a long time to worship God, you could just tell that collective faith and unity each night was just a mix of all that. Was definitely one of the most memorable tours we've ever done.
Wow. And Jad?
Yeah, I mean, I remember we've got really encouraging friends as well, and Chris Tomlin has he's an incredible guy. Just because, what he's kind of done for the church. But to be honest, for us, he's been an incredible friend. And, obviously with what was weighing on us and the things that were going on, he was so encouraging and so supportive. And I remember standing there, I think it was with JD, on one of the first nights, and kind of Chris was standing there. I think he was ready to go on. And he just said, look, man, they just want to worship. They just come to worship. And it was a full room. It was just really encouraging to, to see and to have somebody like Chris kind of just be there and encourage and support us, which meant a lot.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Yeah, man. And what a powerful night. For just about, I'm going to assume every single night of the tour was like that. But when I saw it in Atlanta, it was just a whole different level of worship. Everybody could feel, you could feel the tension in the room just die, because we're all just in awe of what God's doing. And the fact that you guys were able to stick through that tour, make it happen, and just be out promoting Jesus. You're not out promoting we have a new record coming out. Of course, that's always going to be a factor in things, but Hillsong wasn't started for tours. It wasn't started for anything other than the local church, and it just, God's used it and expanded it into global territory. And that's not anything that you guys did individually. There's an anointing on it. God sees favor on it, and it's going to continue to flourish. So just to encourage you guys, from someone who was actually there on one of those nights, it was such a powerful tour. I believe Atlanta was like the first day Taya was back from being sick, and you could tell she was ready to go. JD, your energy is always all over the place. That's one thing that I remember about going to United shows back even in 2012, like it was before Taya had come on board. JD, you're just all over the place. It's like an Energizer bunny just explodes on stage, and it's awesome. But how do you keep up with that energy? Like, I can't imagine.
Yeah, listen, I get excited.
The secret's in his hair, guys. The secret's in his hair. If you cut his hair off, he won't be able to jump anymore.
I don't know, man. I get excited. I love who Jesus is and what he's done for me, and the daily present help that he is, as his word promises. Yeah, I never planned to jump or run around the stage. I just remember leading worship at our youth one time and just getting hyped and just going for it. So, and I normally get off stage and always go, what on earth did I do? Why did I do that? But it's like the Spirit of God overtakes me. And I don't know. I'll keep doing it as long as I can, but surely I'm going to run out of steam soon.
Just keep your chiropractor on speed dial. Okay. You should be good.
The amount of injuries JD's had from just letting the Spirit take him is incredible. Yes.
As I get older, the visits to the physio have gone. But anyway, I'm still here, guys.
It's good for business for not only United, but the chiropractors and such as well. But I want to dive back. Like, let's open up the time capsule for you both personally outside of United. I really want to dive into some stories that I've kind of wondered, and you touched on it quite a bit in the Hillsong movie. But for people like maybe of the generation that didn't grow up with Hillsong, who are you both individually outside of the brand of United, outside of the brand of Hillsong? When it comes down to it, you both had your own individual journeys that led to you joining United and being able to tour the world and bring these worship songs of hope and encouragement to millions of people. So if we could start with you, Jad, and really just dive in, like, who were you before joining the movement? What was your journey into becoming a worship leader and finding your voice and led you to who you are today?
Well, I mean, I grew up in New Zealand and you know, I was just a worship leader in youth, and basically it was one of those things where I didn't really want to be a worship leader. I didn't want to be a singer. I wanted to be Jimi Hendrix, basically. So and I just play guitar, and then our youth leader, who was also our worship pastor, you know, if you come from a small church, you know what that means. And I think one day she said, "Hey, what if you just started the song off?" And I was, you know, probably dumb enough to be like, "Oh yeah, that kind of sounds all right." And I was basically tricked into worship leading. It was crazy. as I got older and got a little better at leading worship, you know, I really loved the Hillsong music, and I remember going to this music festival in New Zealand and seeing what was the early stages of United, which is Joel and Marty and Tulele and Peter King and Luke Munns and just being in this little tent and just going, man, these guys are crazy. This is awesome. They're like, I'm worshiping God, but it's kind of, I'm enjoying the music, which is just a trip, you know? So I moved to Australia to do Hillsong College in the worship stream. But the funniest thing, on my first day of walking to school, this little red Mitsubishi Lancer pulled up next to me, and the guy inside said, "Hey, you going to Hillsong?" And I was like, "Yeah, yeah." And he said, "Jump in, I'll give you a lift." And that was JD's brother Tim, and basically, I hung out with those two boys like pretty much ever since. And I became a youth leader. I got right involved with the life of our church. I got involved with the worship team. And basically, kind of outside of United, I'm just a church kid. And I know it kind of sounds cliche these days to maybe boil it down to that. But to be honest, that's the truth. It's it doesn't get any more glamorous than that. We go to church. We serve in church. We lead in church. JD, you know, JD's a pastor. You know, like we, there's not really any more of a story now than other than the fact that I came into Hillsong when I was 20 and or 21, and I just got involved as much as I could, and this is where this is where we're at now.
That's awesome.
Yeah, in like JD, in a similar way to Jad, outside of United, I'm just a dad, a husband, and a pastor, and kind of grew up in Hillsong Church. My parents picked the church when I was 4 years old, and we just moved back into Sydney when we'd been away for a couple of years, and yeah, just grew up. And for me, I've really never wanted to do this, never saw it on the cards, but I've always wanted to serve God and build his church, because I've had the privilege of growing up in an environment where I was encouraged and pointed to Jesus. And so I thought, I don't really want to do anything else but that. And yeah, so, and for in the Jad and I, and to be honest, most of the crew in United, there's this huge element of reluctancy. None of us went after this. No one was dying to do it. We were just wanting to try our best to follow God and trust him. And really the early days of United, our massive goal was to maybe write a song that our friends in our high school would actually like or want to sing. And so the fact that it went beyond our suburban neighborhood has just blown us away. And we know ourselves and we know the grace of God. And so we're thankful that, you know, we can play any part in this.
I think it's so cool that you bring up, hey, we just wanted to bring a song to the table that our friends and family could worship to. And then you have a song as big as Oceans to where you're like, hey, if you come to Hillsong in Australia, we're not going to sing that one on Sundays anymore. Like the song's too big. People are expecting it. Like we want you to come for Jesus, not just for this song.
It's also too long. Eats up all my time.
Well, I mean, there's just so many spontaneous moments that could happen during that song, whether it's in the crowd or on stage. It's just such every single, I kid you not, between Outcry and the bits and pieces of shows I've seen you guys do over the years, I've probably seen United more than I've seen any other band, thinking about it, because between just tours and all of the other things, it's like, what the heck? Like, United is all over the place, and God is using you guys in such a powerful way. So I am just beyond encouraged by you guys being able to open up and be so vulnerable with me, and just opening up about some of the things that aren't as easy to talk about, you know, going through such a leadership change within a church, and then being able to put out records and tour and proclaim the name of Jesus on such a big platform. I commend you so much for just doing what you do and being able to be vulnerable with us today. I've greatly been encouraged by it.
Thank you.
Well, thanks, man. Yeah, you know what? Through the seasons for us, and it's been our experience that that God's the same. You know, we may navigate tough seasons or manage disappointments or, you know, all those kinds of things. But, mm-hmm. you know, for us, and I think it's, you know, people say this every day, but God's the same. And, you know, like he doesn't hide from you. So, you know, that's been a real kind of help for us, knowing really just two things: that God is there. And he doesn't change. He's the same. But also the people at home who sit in the pews or who attend our church, those are the people that we serve, you know. And I feel like for us, we wouldn't want to kind of make it about anything else than God and our people, you know. And so, yeah, we appreciate you saying that.
Of course. And if there's anybody out there listening today and they're struggling, whether it's with a mental health crisis, going through grief, maybe their church is going through some leadership changes, no matter what it may be, what would the message be from Jad and JD?
You know, for me, it's like as simple as it sounds. If I look at the last kind of couple of years, and for so many reasons, not just one, I think we've all got too many reasons why we could, you know, have faced some mountains and some challenges. But I remember reading in the Psalms where it says, where it encourages us to come before God and to show him our feelings. And you can see the way the psalmist does that. And I also love in Matthew 6, verse 6, in the Message translation, it's just before the Lord's Prayer, where it literally says, here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet and secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just sit there as honestly as you can manage. And the focus will shift from you to God, and you'll begin to sense his grace. And so I think for me that the simplicity of, you know, following Jesus is about having a relationship with him. It's about getting to know him. And you can't get to know anybody if you don't hang out with them, and if you don't ask them questions, and if you don't have a conversation. And the most incredible thing is, if I think we would all, if we had the opportunity, say, oh man, imagine if you could have 10 minutes one-on-one with the Lord God himself to hear what he has to say. The reality is, you have all day if you just open up his word. He can speak to us in so many different ways. But, you know, I know for Jad and I, like, we're in a group together. We read the Bible every day, just a little chapter. But for me, it's been, you know, there are so many other things, you know, that we can do to help ourselves. And there's, but I think ultimately start with God, seek him first. And it is incredible that God's word is true, and he will do what he said he'll do. And so I just want to encourage people. That would be my challenge, but an encouraging challenge to get away with God in his word and in his presence, and listen and shift your focus to him. And it's incredible that the peace and the grace and the mercy that is offered with that for everyone, wherever you're at on the journey. So that would be my encouragement.
So good.
Yeah, I think JD did an amazing job with that. I'm not going to add to it.
Awesome, man. That on itself is a word. I don't know if you've heard this before, JD. It's not like you're a pastor or anything, but amen, retweet, whatever anybody is saying in these day and age. Maybe we can get Elon Musk to retweet that one, make it the biggest blown up tweet in the world. But man, thank y'all so much for being here today. And for everybody listening, be sure to go check out the expanded edition of Are We There Yet on your favorite streaming platform. And be sure to check out some of these music videos and such on the YouTube, because they're quite phenomenal. There's some amazing merch. We're going to have the link for everything in the description below. And if you're struggling today and need a little extra hope and encouragement, be sure to go check out some of our friends in the link in the description below for Heart Support, Death to Life, Beneath the Skin, To Write Love on Her Arms, and several other resources that are readily available for you for free. We love you guys so much. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll talk to you next week. Goodbye now.
If you're tired of parenting advice and news headlines that are more confusing than assembling IKEA furniture, we've got just the podcast for you. My dear friend Abby and I are here to help you navigate the parenting roller coaster.
Should your kids be on social media? What should you tell a friend facing an unplanned pregnancy? These are just some of the many questions we tackle on our podcast.
Subscribe to The Real Deal of Parenting wherever you find your podcast.